Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, January 24th, and you are dialing into Retooling for Our Coming of Age. I am Jeff Dunphy, and yet again, Jameen is on assignment out of the studio. I have a whole plethora of stuff to go over today, and we are going to step into a variety of things globally, and also we are going to discuss pain. We're also going to discuss gold, and we are also going to discuss speech. Now, one of the things that has been our topic of late, certainly in my classroom of late, and also around the world, is the topic of pain and how we acknowledge, recognize, and are lied to about its validity or its usefulness, which begs the question, how can the world be going through so much pain, and how can mainstream media be lying to us so diligently, and how is it that we should respond? Certainly the purpose behind this show in Retooling is we wish to be instrumental in awakening our listeners to see what is and not what they're told by the mainstream media. I suspect it's fair to say that very few who are listening will be able to say unequivocally that they have never experienced pain. In fact, I would suspect that that would be an absolute given, that everybody has experienced pain. And I want to chat a little about the pain analogy and how it portends to us at this instant in time, and always, in all fairness, it's always there. I would suggest that pain is a necessary aspect of an evolution of all sorts of things. Pain is a necessary evolution for the evolution of the planet. If it is helpful to the evolutionary processes of a planet, it is also helpful to the people of the planet. And consequently, we have experienced a whole bunch of pain. The pain that we are experiencing right now, this came across my desk a little while ago, and it speaks about the pain that Spain is feeling relative to its economy. And get a load of this. Spain has now seen 6 straight years of job destruction. 199,000 jobs disappeared in Spain last year, and 3.5 million have vanished since the crisis began in 08. There's the collateral damage, right? I'm sure the mortgage crisis hit everywhere on the planet. It just manifests itself in its scenario of more in various countries. There are 1.8 million households in Spain where nobody has a job, and that's higher than it was a year before. There's some 690,000 households in Spain that have no income at all, not even Social Security. So guess what they're doing? They're literally living hand to mouth. And if they're living in a place where they can grow their food, they can grow their food. But we're seeing a crisis here, okay? More than 3.5 million in Spain have been out of work for at least a year. And that's 61% of all people who currently find themselves without work in the country. Some 2.3 million people have been out of work for the last 2 years. I don't know. This would be an expression of pain. Now, what has to happen? What needs to happen? What should happen relative to the pain? Pain that the globe is feeling, the pain that the financial markets have disturbingly imposed on the planet, and the lies that are being told on us. Now, I want to chat about pain, and I want to chat about how it's an evolutionary way. And one of the best expressions, certainly that we have experienced in our classroom of late, is the analogy of an athlete building a body, going into the gym and exercising and breaking down muscles and giving the body time to rest and then coming back and doing it again. So consequently, what happens in ideal training is that the athlete would go into the gym, do its curls or push-ups or bench presses or leg presses or squats or sit-ups or whatever, and break down the muscles. Tell the body that the muscles need to get stronger. They need to get more diligent. And so the body then goes back and goes, oh my goodness, I'm being tasked with improving, tasked with getting stronger, tasked with getting getting more resilient, if you will. This would be akin to progressive training, where the athlete at the end of the day, at the end of the period, 1 month, 6 weeks, 6 months, 2 years, whatever, is stronger, more resilient, and has more longevity in terms of whatever they're training for. And so when we see the tennis matches and when we see the hockey games and when we see any of these athletic events, you'll find that the athletes who are the best trained oftentimes are the ones that are the most successful. So now let's talk about regressive training. Let's chat a little about an athlete that goes in and does sit-ups on one day and then the very next day comes back and does more sit-ups, does not give his body time to recuperate or recover. And so consequently, his body is going into what some might say a downward spiral, not given enough time to recover, not given enough time for the muscles to recuperate. The athlete doesn't get stronger so much as what he does is he burns himself out. And we've heard that phrase forever. So I want to bring that from the micro, you know, Johnny the athlete burning himself out and working too hard in the gym. And I want to bring that out into the macro. So now we have an aspect of the monetary or the fiscal system that is global, and it has been imposed on us, certainly in North America or in the U.S. with the Federal Reserve System, although the Bank of Canada system is no different, the fractional reserve banking system. Now, the fractional reserve banking system has been around for a long time, and many of the bankers in Europe back in the day had it in their countries, and consequently they lent money into the system so that everybody became indebted to them. And that's how the bankers effectively became the landowners and the landlords of all of Europe over time. And now I suspect it's fair to say that the bankers now are the landlords over the entire globe. There are a very select few who are doing all kinds of machinations in order to perpetuate this lie. That is very painful for everybody but them. And this lie will effectively come back and blow itself up in their face. This system that they have created is by its very design self-destructive. Not unlike an athlete who burns himself out, this system has no place to go but implosion. And so consequently, we talk of gold and we talk of precious metals and we talk of how best to prepare yourself, retooling. And we also wander through some of the ancient texts about how the ancients talk about a variety of things. And how the ancients talk about pain, which is what we've spoken of. The ancients also, they talk about speech, which I want to actually want to read some stuff for you on speech. And I also want to reread something on gold that was written in the early 1900s by one of our guiding lights. And we talk about the evolution of the planet and the system that is in place right now is fighting the normal evolutionary energies that would have our planet evolve into a better, more awakened, more enlightened situation. The powers that be, the false powers that be, for this power is fleeting and cannot last for any period of time, the powers that be are using the system, the fractional reserve banking system, in a manner that is empowering and enriching them with their paper money, with their fiat money, and it is compromising or violating the very fabric of everybody else. And one of the things that we carry along in our classroom is the phrase, as go we, so go I, which talks about collectivism and collaboration and cooperation, which is also something that a friend of ours named Greg Braden pushes and talks about and speaks to in a wonderful fashion in one of his books. I believe that book is called Deep Truth. So let us now chat a little about where this all goes and what the ancients talk about in terms of the last era in a destructive cycle. They call this the Kali Yuga. And the Kali Yuga is spoken of mostly about how misalignment of an evolutionary process, or the law of free will, as some would, and its misuse. The law of free will says that at any given point in time, you can choose to act in one way or another. And we do, in fact, have a law of free will on this planet and in this, certainly in the solar system. The interesting irony in this, or the paradox, if you will, is the law of free will is pretty easy for those who are evolved enough and clever enough and awake enough to recognize that the ways of the universe, the laws of the cosmos, the cosmic laws, if you will, when you act in alignment with them, when you make yourself aware of them, then all of a sudden things are easy and consequently flow as they are meant to flow. However, there's an old Native American story about the great warrior who was absolutely not a warrior, a great hunter. He was absolutely wonderful. And he had a great nose to find whatever it was that the natives at that point in time, the tribe, needed. So they would look to this warrior or this hunter and they'd say, "We're hungry." And he'd go, "Okay, well, let's go out and we'll find some buffalo." And sure enough, he would find some buffalo. And they would capture and kill enough buffalo to feed the group, and they would use the buffalo, and away they went, and they were all fine. And then one day this hunter decided that he wanted to, because he was so good and everybody else was so dependent on him, that he would keep some for himself and he would stockpile and store it. Well, sure enough, everybody went hungry because he was too greedy and too self-centered, and consequently the whole system in and of itself collapsed. What the hell does that mean? Okay, well, the bankers have stolen now for the better part of 100 years, or more than 100 years now. The Federal Reserve Act was brought in 1913, and it was done in a way where the implicit ramification of fractional reserve lending, fractional reserve banking, was that you would destroy the purchasing power of the currency. And the currency, the U.S. dollar currency, has fallen. Its purchasing power has been reduced by 99% in 100 years. That's quite dramatic, isn't it? And horrible. It's horrible because the purchasing historically, earlier than that, the 100 years before that, the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar did not decline dramatically. If it fell off 5, 6, 8% in 100 years, okay, because it was gold-backed. And there will be a point in time where gold will be the go-to commodity for a new economic system. But what we're saying here, and what we prefaced the show by being, is that this will be a very painful scenario. And I might add, I suspect that the current system in place has no place in the evolutionary process of how the planet will be governed in the future in terms of its monetary and fiscal predispositions. So what I'm saying again quite clearly is the old system is so broken that putting band-aids on it or realigning it with good people, if you will, for the perpetual optimists out there, to which I would suggest I am one, is not enough. You cannot use a broken system in order to facilitate an entirely new mindset and a new practice moving forward. We are seeing, globally, we are seeing some pretty big pain, some pretty big upset, and some quite cantankerous responses by people. The Ukraine right now is having what looks like the front end of a civil uprising. We're seeing a whole bunch of stuff coming out of Syria now, which gives us great pause. As I just talked about in terms of Spain, the financial and the economic malady in Spain, and we're seeing mainstream media, certainly that comes out of Davos, Switzerland, is where a very clever, very intelligent, supposedly, man get together and tell everybody that everything's going to be fine. And we wander into this next stage where the Chinese and the Japanese and everybody's starting to look at each other suspiciously and talk about military or flexing their military muscles. My goodness, it makes us pause for a while. Now, the the orators, if you will, or the speakers, brings me to a quick conversation about Martin Luther King. And he was a great speechwriter and even a better speaker. His oration skills were and are, continue to be, very highly regarded. And he talks about the day when we start to pick ourselves up, we start to pay attention, we start to do unto others, we start to allow the evolution of the planet to come about rather than postponing it. And some would say that the greedy political, but political and financial powers that be have wanted to postpone the normal evolutionary cycle of the planet and its people. Oh, guess what? Can't be done. Mother Nature is something that you can't postpone, because if the people of Earth are evolving and the people of Earth are going through crisis and going through pain, it just goes via the law of correspondence, which stays as above, so below. If mankind is going through these huge challenges, the Earth is going through these huge challenges as well. So we see these tornadoes and these earthquakes and these hurricanes, and we see these massive floods, and we see all kinds of bizarre stuff happening in Mother Nature that some would say, oh, we haven't seen this before. And in fact, you just, the scope of your perspective is just changing. So I want to chat about speech. I want to chat about love. I want to chat about evolution. And I want to read you something from a book that's called Initiation, Human and Solar. And it talks about evolution and it talks about speech. And one of the greatest instruments for practical development lying in the hands of small and great is the instrument of speech. He who guards his words and who only speaks with altruistic purpose in order to carry the energy of love through the medium of the tongue is one who is mastering rapidly the initial steps to be taken in preparation for initiation. Speech is the most occult manifestation in existence. It is the means of creation and the vehicle for force. In the reservation of words, esoterically understood, lies the conservation of force. In the utilization of words, justly chosen and spoken, lies the distribution of the love force of the solar system, that force which preserves, strengthens, and stimulates. Only he who knows somewhat of these two aspects of speech can be trusted to stand before the initiator and to carry out from that presence certain sounds and secrets imparted to him under the pledge of silence. The disciple must learn to be silent in the face of that which is evil. He must learn to be silent before the sufferings of the world, wasting no time in idle complaints and sorrowful demonstration, but lifting up the burden of the world. This is one of the reasons we have begun this retooling for our coming of age. Let's turn the lights on for people. Wasting no time and wasting no energy in talk. Yet withal he should speak where encouragement is needed, using the tongue for constructive ends and expressing the love force of life. This we fall back to is as go we, so go I. He expresses the love force of the world as it may flow through him, where it will serve best to ease a load or lift a burden, remembering that as the race progresses, the love element between the sexes and its expression will be translated to a higher plane. Then, through the spoken word and not through the physical plane expression of now, will come the realization of that true love which unites those who are one in service and in aspiration. Then, love between the units of the human family will take the form of the utilization of speech for the purpose of creating on all planes, and the energy which now in the majority finds expression through the lower or generating centers will be translated to the throat center. This is a very esoteric and brilliant declaration of truth, in that the power of speech is as yet unknown to the vast majority of mankind. This is as yet but a distant ideal, but even now some can vision that ideal and seek through united service, loving cooperation, and oneness in aspiration, thought, and endeavor to give shape and form to it, even though inadequately. speak the truth. There's a great saying that we use sometimes in class about your obligation is to seek and speak the truth. One of the things that has been compromised horribly is the tenor of which we are told through mainstream media how the government is looking out for you or looking after you. This is shocking. This is an unbelievable violation of the law of honesty. Let's make up a law of honesty. When you're honest, when you speak the truth, things flow. When you get caught up in lies, as the financial markets, as the political markets, even as the military markets have been propagating for years, you create an environment where you have to tell more lies in order to cover up the first lies. And who knows, who has children where you catch them in a lie and the kids just sort of lift their arms up and go, God, okay, I'm God, I've had. This is the law of evolution. This lie cannot be perpetuated forever. It runs its course. There's the law of cycles, okay? So we are seeing an economic meltdown. And because the various economies all over the planet have certain aspects and certain reporting issues, we don't necessarily see it all happening, one, in real time, or two, through a clear lens. So we now watch as it happens, as the mainstream media would have us happen, have us see it happen, and through the internet, which is and should be a further source on finding information that is unfettered with the contempt that mainstream media has for the sheeple that we have called historically. People need to be led by the nose because they don't have the wherewithal or the attentiveness to recognize that they're being lied to. And that is a choice. That is part, that falls under the law of free will. If you choose not to be awake, if you choose not to be alert, then it is by your own hand that you allow these people to manipulate you and to control you, which gives us great pause in the big picture for those of us who choose to have eyes open and ears open. And it also talks about pain, okay? Also talks about the pain of wandering down an alley where somebody's lied to you about stuff and how you need to take responsibility for being led down the road, led down the garden path, as a cliche would go. Okay. Now, in keeping with gold and in keeping with the markets and in keeping with the economy in general, let's chat a little about the lies that keep coming, keep delivering, and what's happening relative to the lies and what it happens in terms of taking responsibility for yourself relative to those lies. There is big talk right now in the short in gold needing to be covered, which means a whole bunch of people have pretended to sell gold and now they have to deliver it. And they're now having to go and find gold. That's the covering of a short. So when that happens, what happens is people have to come into the market and actually buy physical gold. And there's becoming more and more and more evidence in the marketplace that the physical gold that they have declared is in and there is in fact not there at all. More lies, more pain. It becomes inevitable. And it also behooves us to make flipping good and sure that we are forewarned. What's the phrase? Forewarned is forearmed? I would think so. Okay. So now let's chat a little about the economy is starting to fall apart. The U.S. is printing money as fast as it can. Here's an interesting little tidbit. The Japanese now plan to raid dormant bank accounts to raise new revenue. I don't know about you, but if you have a bank account where your money is in the bank and it isn't active, and the bank starts to say, we're going to come and get it, what is that? I mean, that's a confiscation. It's confiscatory policy, which, again, perpetuates the lies. That is your money. It's not the bank's money. It is your money. Okay, so the Japanese are planning to raid dormant bank accounts to raise new revenue. Okay, And the indebted country, what they've done is they're printing money mind-bogglingly fast. They're saddled with a public debt that is running at 214% of their gross domestic product. Hello? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, now let's talk a little about some economic data that's now coming to light, that can't help but come to light, because there are those of us who choose to sort of turn these lights on, okay? There's a whole bunch of stores going to be closed. Remember Sears? It's going to shut one of its flagship stores in downtown Chicago in April. And it's the latest of about 300 store closures that Sears has made since 2010. It's in the last 2 years. And apparently, there's a JCPenney's doing the same and Macy's are doing the same. And the further signs of cuts are coming also when Target's planning on cutting stuff. So here's another perpetuation of the myths, right? The powers that be would say, the only way that we can get the economy back on track is to spend. And everybody's now starting to go, I don't think so. I don't think spending's going to do it. And so because they're not spending, this is the decrease in the velocity of the money. And so the government has to print more money and has to create more nonsense and has to create more lies. It gets pretty nasty. So there's some news coming out also that we think might trigger a massive short squeeze that could quickly send gold up right now. Where are we sitting with gold right now? Let's do a check-in. Gold is currently at $1,263.64 right now, and silver is just a snitch under $20. I get the manipulation. The Germans have come to the table saying that the price of gold and silver is being manipulated. The French are starting to, there's repatriation trying to go on, which is quite interesting. And we see the price of gold artificially being held low. Right now, the Dow is down by a bit. The NASDAQ is down. The S&P is down. There's a variety of things going on. Now, I want to make reference to an article that I read recently by a billionaire named Hugo Salinas Price. And the basic premise behind this is the lie, right? Everything in our modern world is a lie. And one of the things that he talks about is how best to extricate ourselves from this, but also how we might be able to develop a new system that could carry us forward, right? So I'm going to quote a couple of this, right? So at the present time, the prospects of our project, the project of creating a monetary system that isn't impeded or directed by the powers that be, the prospects for our projects are poor because the world leaders are really not independent men or women. They are under the control of their respective central bankers who form an international fraternity whose leaders are the Fed, the IMF, and the Bank of International Settlements, the BIS. Whenever anything monetary is presented to these supposedly top world leaders, they all refer the question to their central bankers. These, of course, are completely against anything that will devolve real power to the population, real protection for individuals and their family. They are against all forms of savings. Their whole interest lies in promoting more debt and not more savings. They one and all considered that savings are simply a drag on growth, and they want people to spend, not to save. Okay, so these talks about some interesting stuff. And one of the questions is, why is it important to go back to sound money, gold and silver, when some, most notably Noriel Rubini, who was a bit of a contrary to our perspective, calls gold a barbarous relic, okay? So everything in our water world is a lie. Here's how he responds to it. Everything in our modern world is a lie. Look wherever you will and you will find lies. Our civilization is living on borrowed time because you cannot deal with reality and the problem of finding sustenance for life in fiction or lies. You have to deal with reality by means of truth, not by lies. If we go on pretending that we can avoid reality by means of lies, we're going to end up in a barbarous state. The world is attempting to live by means of the great lie of fiat money. It will not work. You deal with reality by means of truth, and truth is thinking that checks with reality. Gold is money, and if we refuse to face that fact, we are lying. Again, it speaks to our understanding and embrace how important gold is. And here's a guy who's a billionaire who's, I mean, more and more people are standing up and saying this is absolute nonsense, the way that the world is doing this. And there will be a tipping point in all of this, okay? So one of the questions is, how and why did we get to this current global economic crisis where debts in the world, all over in the first world, are growing up exponentially? Is there any relationship between this, public deficits, and the abandonment of the gold standard? Okay, so here's his response. We got to this state because our leaders in universities and in politics have wished to forget reality and have thought that by using our brains, we can get around reality. I would suggest that the use of our brains isn't so much the use of our altruistic brains, but the greedy aspect of us. And the ancients call this the lower manas, the lower mental. Thus, our thinkers and political leaders have been attempting to put reality to one side and in its place, use fictitious money which can be manipulated to keep people happy. Brilliant stuff. The problem is fundamentally a moral problem. Is political power to be based on reality or on systematic deceit of the populations of the world? Our leaders have chosen mass deceit as their instrument of power. Let me read that again. Our leaders have chosen mass deceit as their instrument of power. What they will obtain will be utter chaos and disorder and mass impoverishment. Remember what I said a little while later, ladies and gentlemen, about the fact that the U.S. dollar has lost 99% of its purchasing power in the last 100 years. One of the problems is that the population of the world is now headed for 7.5 billion humans. And the fact of life is that poverty never has been eliminated and never will be eliminated. There will always be people who live in misery. Now, that fact is politically unacceptable, and so politicians lie to their populations and print up funny money to distribute and thus appease the people. But such a policy cannot eliminate the fundamental condition of life in this world, which is that some people will always be poor. Efforts to alter this condition only lead to far more terrible conditions of utter despotism by governments such as the Bolshevik communists of the USSR under Lenin and Stalin. Oh, what's happening right now in the Ukraine? We have an educational example in the French Revolution of 1789. In 1790, the revolution had begun and frightened businessmen contracted their operations. The complaint was there is insufficient money. And so the most brilliant Frenchman thought that it was a scarcity of gold. They had the brains to overcome this problem. How? By printing money. So they began to print money, and at first in moderate amounts. But all they got was a rising price of gold in terms of their printed money. So they began to fight gold, to disparage it, and to persecute holders of gold. And they printed up endless amounts of money. It all ended very badly after sending gold holders to the guillotine or to the galleys. The people of Paris were reduced to starvation. And Napoleon ended it all, saying, I shall pay gold or not pay at all. You cannot get around the realities of life successfully, no matter how brilliant you are. The graduates of the great universities of the world do not agree. They think they are qualified to run the world according to their brilliant ideas, which are, in my opinion, based on greed. So who benefits? This is another question posed to Hugo. Who benefits from this policy of permanent monetary and credit expansion? What can the average person do to protect himself from this attack against his private property and purchasing power? The clear beneficiaries of monetary and credit expansion are those who get the money and credit first before the rest of the people. So this is why Jamie Dimon got a raise today from J.P. Morgan. He pays $25 billion in fines, and then they give him a raise. They become wealthier, at least for a time, while the rest of the people sink into diminished well-being. But eventually, all goes up in smoke, and heads begin to roll, those of the guilty as well as those of the innocent. The only thing that the average person can do is A, understand the situation first of all, one of our objectives in retooling, and B, to save up some silver and gold, which may perhaps, if he is lucky, allow him to survive the collapse that invariably comes after money and credit have been expanded beyond any limit. Now another question posited to him. Do you think that the gold and silver markets could be manipulated? And if so, what would be the purpose of such manipulation, and could that last forever? It's a great, great response to this question. Is, of course the gold and silver markets are manipulated. You have to either be blind or a Harvard graduate with a doctorate in economics to ignore the fact. There's some cynicism in them. The purpose of the manipulation is the same as the purpose of the French revolutionaries in attacking gold when they were printing their assignats, paper money, like crazy, to try to suppress the indicator which showed the destruction they were carrying out with unlimited printing of fiat money. Gold tells the truth, and so it is an enemy of those who wish to deceive their populations. Paul Volcker, famous former head of the Federal Reserve of the U.S., once stated, "Gold is my enemy." Why? Because the Fed wanted to print money. Gold will triumph over paper. It always has, ever since the Chinese invented paper money many centuries ago. But in the meantime, paper money is twisting the economic facts to such a degree that economic distortions are taking place in the markets. Enormous investment mistakes are being made. As this will become evident in due course, a gigantic collapse is going to take place, and many who think they are very wealthy will find that they have next to nothing. Now, he next speaks to something which I am completely in alignment with and agree with him wholeheartedly, but it talks about the destruction of a system. So a return to a gold standard will not be possible until thinkers and leaders begin to think differently about how they think today. We know for a fact that people in Asia have not forgotten about gold. They're buying gold frantically. They can see what we cannot, that the dollar is doomed. Or rather, they can see, because their population probably isn't being lied to about fiat currency. Perhaps a new monetary order may be imposed by China and Russia acting together. At least there is a possibility of that. There is only one way to deal with reality and the problem of human survival, through a clear recognition of the facts. Gold allows us to recognize the facts, however much we may dislike them. We do a disservice to the young when we continue to turn from reality and think that amassing paper wealth is anything that can endure. The young deserve the chance to build their lives according to their ability in dealing with reality, and this is the chance that gold gives them. He's also asked this lovely question, which, again, we've spoken of oftentimes. Do you think the world is ruled by a certain group or groups of people who control the history of this planet? Is this possible, or are they just conspiracy theories? Certainly, the world, in the current mess, is run by perhaps 1,000 individuals who use the false economic theories that prevail to further their hold on power. There may be an even smaller, very influential group within these 1,000 individuals, but the main problem is not these power groups. Get a load of this. The main problem is that false economic theories are supported by billions of humans who blindly accept them. So actually, it's the people themselves who enslave themselves. Unbelievable. It's the people themselves who enslave themselves. And that's one of the reasons and one of the deals and one of the aspects of our very being in doing this work that we do, in working on the retooling for our coming of age. So we know China has been accumulating gold, and China is now the largest consumer of this metal over India. And why is gold so important? And evidently, the Chinese aren't so silly as to think that gold is no longer of vital interest and importance. China is thousands of years old. They have a history that knows how important gold is. Unbelievable. Now, here's another interesting fact that we brought to light some time ago, but it was in this interview as well. Last year, the Bundesbank, this is the Bank of Germany, reported that it would repatriate all of its gold reserves from Paris and a part of them supposedly located in New York. In the 2013 to 2020 period, nevertheless, last year, they repatriated nearly 37 tons and only 5 tons from the New York Fed. In your opinion, what would be the reason for this? The reason is crystal clear. The U.S. does not have the gold it says it has. The U.S. was the custodian of a gold cookie jar, if you will, and the U.S. government simply ate up the cookies. They have no gold left. So in one of your recent articles, an article called The Siren Song of the Welfare State, you write that our world, the national management of an economy, means making millions of individuals do what they wouldn't do if left to themselves. This is another very important thing. Could you please explain this and why the outcome of this lack of freedom is world socialism? It is very simple. When governments attempt to manage an economy, they have to make people do what they would not do if left to themselves. This is obvious. If governments allow people to do what they wish without interference, then the government will not be managing anything. If government is to manage the economy, it must interfere with what individuals would do if left to themselves. Government management means that you are interfering in the decisions of individuals. This is called an imposition, and an imposition is contrary to what? The law of free will. When governments print up money, it is twisting the economic facts and leading individuals to make decisions they would not make if the money was gold. So here you see people unconsciously do what they would not do if they were dealing with real money. Printing money is one of the main ways of managing a modern economy by mass disinformation, because money is a transmitter of economic information through prices. If the money is false, the information it provides, which is prices, is also false. Now, as government management means interfering with the decisions of individuals, the result will be impoverishment, because people always try to maximize their own benefit by their decisions. And if they're not free to take their own decisions, they are fighting a losing battle to achieve their own benefit and progress. They have to take second best or third best or fourth best, all to their detriment. So this condition leads to less prosperity. And as prosperity fades, governments claim they need more power, stricter management, more management to make things go better, and that process of more and more management finally ends up in socialism. Quite logical. The government running things, okay? I would suspect, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in a period of time that needs our attention. We need to extricate ourselves from the nonsense of the planet. We need to extricate ourselves from being fed all this bullshit, bull crap, and let us organize ourselves so we can see what is, not what we are told to see. Okay, I want to read another article here, if I might indulge you, in how important gold is in more ways than just fiscally, okay? Gold was a common commodity in this age, as it is in all golden ages, because its natural emanation is a purifying, balancing, and vitalizing energy or force. It is placed within the earth by the lords of creation, those great beings of light and love who create and direct worlds, systems of worlds, and the evolution of the beings upon them. The outer mind or intellectual knowledge of humanity holds within it very little understanding of the real purpose for which gold exists on this planet. It grows within the earth like a plant. There's an interesting concept. It grows within the earth like a plant, and though it is constantly pouring a purifying, vitalizing, and balancing current of energy into the very ground we walk upon, as well as into the growth of nature and the atmosphere we breathe. Gold is placed upon this planet for a variety of uses. Two of its most trivial and unimportant ones being that of using gold as a means of exchange and for ornamentation. The far greater activity and purpose of it within and upon the earth is the release of its own inherent quality and energy to purify, vitalize, and balance the atomic structure of the world. Wow. In fact, it is a balancing, a purifying and vivifying effect. The scientific world today has no inkling as yet of this activity. However, it serves the same purpose to our earth that radiators do to our homes. Gold is one of the most important ways by which the energy from our sun is supplied to the interior of the earth and a balance of activities maintained. As a conveyor of this energy, it acts as a transformer to pass the sun's force into the physical substance of our world, as well as to the life evolving upon it. The energy within gold is really the radiant electronic force from the sun acting in a lower octave. Gold is sometimes called a precipitated sun ray. As the energy within gold is of an extremely high vibratory rate, it can only act upon the finer and more subtle expressions of life through absorption. In all golden ages, this metal comes into plentiful and common use for the mass of the people. And whenever such a condition occurs, the spiritual development of that people reaches a very high state. We have to let go of the old to welcome in the new. We have to forego the old low vibratory rate in order to raise ourselves up into the higher. In these ages, the gold is never hoarded, but instead is widely distributed into the use of the masses, who, absorbing its purifying energy, are themselves raised into greater perfection. Such is the right use of gold, and when this law is consciously understood and obeyed, the individual may draw any quantity he desires to himself by the use of that law. Because of the gold deposits in all mountain ranges, one finds health and vigor in life upon the mountains that he cannot find at any other place on the earth's surface. No one has ever heard of detrimental effects coming to those who constantly handle pure gold. While in its pure state, it is soft and wears away easily. Still, that very quality is the fulfilling of this purpose of which I have spoken. The more advanced of these people produced much gold by precipitation directly from the universal. The domes of many buildings were covered with sheets of pure gold, and the interiors decorated with brilliant jewels in curious yet marvelous designs. These jewels were also precipitated direct from the one eternal substance. I don't know. Sounds to me like gold is a magic, wonderful commodity, a wonderful magic vibratory entity, and something that we need to and choose to hold and have and create. Now, I say this in all candor, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to wake up. Let us notice and let us participate in actively waking up. The wise sages that cruise around the planet and the wise men who have been here before and have written before and have spoken before about waking up do not do your push-ups for you. This is something that we should and can and might do, because I think they have great reverence for mankind. They sit idly by and let mankind blow himself up. That's the law of free will. They speak constantly and teach constantly about how best to organize their way. And I think it's time for us to pay attention. I think it's time for us to pay attention. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, I will bid you adieu, and I look forward very much to speaking with you next week. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. And until next time, this is Retooling for Our Coming of Age.